Yeah. Uh-huh. Listen up. Yeah, I can see you're new to this. You ain't got no job. You ain't got no experience. You're entry level. You ain't got no qualifications, baby. You're entry level. You're entry level. Your entry level, baby. Your entry level. Ooh, yeah.
Entry level. This week's episode is brought to us by our sponsor, BetterHelp. Listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/Brooks. That's BetterHelp.com/Brooks. Yo, welcome to this week's episode of Entry Level. I'm in his front yard. We're hanging out. Nick Rutherford is here for the intro.
Hello, I'm Nick Rutherford. Hello, Brooks.
Hey, this is very exciting. Nick Turner is currently in Paris.
That's right. He's in Paris with his baby and his family.
His family? So he's out.
Because you know what babies love? French cuisine. That's the best time to introduce a child to escargot.
Yeah.
When they're 4 months old.
Turner did text right away. He's like, I got food poisoning. Like, he'd been there, like, a minute.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
And I was like,
he was bedridden for, like, the first 3 days.
Yeah. And I was like, would you get food poisoning from the plane food or from France food? And he said, I don't know. And then, like, 5 days later, he sent this photo of a fork to our group chat that he used to eat beef tartare with a raw egg on top the day he got there.
Which is probably the food poisoning.
Yeah. Exactly. It's not necessarily like
a completely uncooked meal.
Uncooked meat with an uncooked egg. And he's like, it could have been the plain French fries or the raw egg and beef.
Right.
No one knows.
It'll remain a mystery forever.
So that brought a lot of joy to me that he's embarrassed, just confused as to what got him sick. And he literally ate uncooked ground beef.
That's like a Jackass stunt.
Yeah,
just a raw egg and raw meat.
We told Carl, Carl's on this text chain, and Carl's like, oh, you don't get food poisoning from beef tartare. I'm like, not if you have Carl's stomach that's built on snails. Like, it's just like if you don't eat beef tartare all the time, it's going to goof you up for a minute.
Yeah, I bet Carl only exclusively eats beef tartare, scallops, and expensive oysters.
Right, yeah, he eats 10 cans, but they're the finest 10 cans.
Yes, definitely.
Yesterday was Easter. Nick, you want to tell everybody what your plan was?
Yeah, I had a plan to do a little park fun time hang and do an adult Easter egg hunt where I was going to put, like shroom chocolates and mushroom chocolates and weed chocolates and Easter eggs and spread them around this public park.
That's normally never busy.
No, it's usually a pretty quiet park. But
right.
When I got there, there was 1,000 children everywhere, and all they wanted was eggs.
It was the busiest I've ever seen. It was like a carnival because I rode my bike, and I show up, and it's a full carnival with egg hunts going on
everywhere. Eggs everywhere.
Everywhere.
And I can't put dosed chocolates in an egg on a day where children will do anything to find eggs. So we aborted that pretty quickly.
Summer was wildly nervous that you were going to kill some kid.
Yeah, Summer kind of talked me out of it the day before. She's like, don't do this.
Well, the day before she was like, I don't know. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. But if you keep them contained and you keep an eye on them. And then when I got there, I go, these kids are grabbing all the eggs.
They were little rascals who just wanted eggs.
Yeah.
There's no containment anywhere.
So that brought me a lot of joy. We hung out. Easter was fun. What was your favorite part of Easter? Hacky sack?
We played some hacky sack. We played some canji. I'm a big park game guy, you know? And we did play hacky sack. Maggie May, who was a comic, she's very funny, a friend of mine, tried to do like a flip move and I think broke her knee. I think she shattered her knee in my backyard eventually. So
that's fun.
I think she'll bounce back. But so. Just hurting people all Easter.
That's fun. I did. I hung out of that. Then I went and did some stand up at Tim Robinson's house for his kids. I opened for Mike O'Brien. We force all the children to watch me and O'Brien do short stand up sets before they can hunt eggs.
This is such a weird tradition that Tim has.
Well, O'Brien started it, by having, it's like a 5-year-old tradition now, where O'Brien was had to leave Tim Robinson's Easter party to go do a set, and then Tim was like, do you want to test your material out on the kids?
Oh, okay.
And O'Brien was like, okay. And he's like, don't change any of it. So he's doing this. We do our aggressive yeah. stand-up.
But did that change? You didn't do, like, Brooke stand-up. Did you do, like, Mickey Mouse stand-up?
No, I did. I talked about the Ukrainian war crimes. Does anyone know what war atrocities means? Yeah. I sprinkle in a Sonic.
Yeah.
I get, like, I was like, if that's a hedgehog, call me crazy. You know, like.
Did they like that?
Well, they were like, it is a hedgehog. I'm like, look up a hedgehog. It's a spike rat, okay? And then it turns out, I think one of my friend's kids, I think it might have been Zach Cannon's daughter, really wants a hedgehog. Uh-huh. And like just looks at him all day, and I was just dunking on how gross hedgehogs really are, and she was like, "No!" And so that was it was a treat. And then O'Brien went out, and he I don't want to do his bit, but he has, I don't know how he got it or why he was. This is fine. If you go see Michael Bryan do stand up, if you can ever, he's the funniest stand up comedian.
Yeah,
in the world.
He's great.
He for some reason. Was given, for real, an NAACP award.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't. He had it made.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. But he has a funny bit where...
I thought he really... No.
He just had it made at a trophy shop. Because I asked him, I was like, did you find this somewhere? Oh, it has your name on it. He's like, no, I just had, you can get any trophy made.
Oh, okay, so he does this bit where he has someone reach into his bag and pull out, and then he does improv with whatever's in his bag. He's got a couple goofy things in there.
Uh-huh.
And then also his NAACP award.
Yeah, then there's an NAACP award at
the
bottom.
And then he pulls that out and he goes, oh, I didn't know that was in there. And he talks
about
how
funny.
He won.
This is so embarrassing. I won best white guy.
Yeah. So he's doing that for like 1-year-olds.
Yeah.
It is so fun.
Who don't see race.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 1-year-olds are pure.
And it was really fun, but we were all hanging out, and then I don't talk a lot, like, around that group. Like, not, I don't talk as much as around our group. Do you know what I mean? Like, because it's just all, it's all SNL guys who are older than me.
Yeah.
And Summer was like, are you okay?
And you get triggered immediately.
Well, no, Summer was like, is everything okay? Are you okay? Like, because she was just like, you're just quieter than normal. I was like, oh, these guys will pounce on you if you misstep.
Oh, yeah. It's like... Yeah. It's treacherous water.
Yeah. I said I thought the new Elvis movie looked good, and it turned into I'm racist.
What?
Because I guess the new Elvis movie, Elvis is, they're all doing bits, like, in it, like, in the trailer, Martin Luther King Jr. is assassinated, and he's like, that matters to me, or whatever. And they're like, this is bullshit. This is so fucking stupid. And then it all stemmed from me being like, I thought the Elvis trailer looked pretty good, and then it just divulged into an hour of how I must be racist.
Was Elvis like a racist?
No, but this
I mean, he like stole black music.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So. And it's like, okay, well, and I'm like, I don't know, Seneca. And then someone's like, you got quiet after that. I'm like, yes, these guys will kill me. These guys are murderers when it comes to slip-ups.
Yeah, remember last time I hung out with those guys was at that bar in
Burbank. Yeah.
And I left... right before leaving, use my phone to put on a sweet little song on the jukebox.
Tears from Heaven?
Tears in Heaven by Eric Clapton, about his son who jumped out of a window.
His son fell out of a window.
Fell out of a window.
Because he was wasted and
he was
forgot
wasted
to look at him.
And probably fucking one of the Beatles' wives. So that's a bad dude.
Yeah.
And then he made a very sad song that I like to play at bars when they're really crowded and busy, and it bums everybody out.
Yeah. And everyone agreed that was a funny bit.
Yeah.
So you got to pick and choose your bits.
You
got to
pick and choose a bit and then just go.
Get out of there.
Yeah. Shoot your shot and then leave.
You get a laugh, you leave that
you
room.
You leave. Yeah. You drop the mic.
Well, we got. Oh, also, Nick helped all last week. Nick is the first ever hired writer. It was for 3 days for my Fox television show.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
Hired number one, Nick Rutherford. It was very nice. Absode ponied up.
Yeah.
For Rutherford.
Well, because Fox wasn't going to have it.
Fox would not, they're harder to get to give you money to hire your friends to help you write a television show. Still my favorite network. Love them so much.
What we were talking about, it's just such a weird thing. It's like, hey, why don't you do an impossible task, by yourself, and we'll make it as hard as possible to succeed. And then if you succeed that, they're like, okay, now you have a team of 10 TV writers who have all won Emmys, and there you go. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So, yeah, what happened was I wrote the pilot, and which is very, very hard and difficult, and they said, awesome. And the whole time I'm writing the pilot, I'm like, this is the last time I'll have to do this by myself. Because after this, after you write the pilot, normally the network will be like, awesome, we're going to staff your room now with 10 people who've all won Emmys.
Right, who do this every day and have for the past 30 years.
Yes, and you just get to kind of tell them your ideas, and they help you.
You tell funny stories about growing up, and then they go, okay, that's an episode.
Right, yes. And so that was the light at the end of the tunnel of me writing the pilot. I was like, this is the last time I'll be like on my own with this. This is very difficult. And I finished it. I turned it in, and they go, two more. No help.
Which is crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
and also, like, no money either, right?
I don't,
should we not
money.
Be talking about
no,
this?
No, they gave me. They
okay,
me,
gave you a little bit of money.
They gave me the what's officially you're supposed to get.
Okay.
But, yeah, legally, what I'm owed.
Yeah.
But then I was like, okay, can I have some help? And they're like, I don't know. And I was like, just give me Nikki Rutherford.
Yeah. And I swooped in.
Swooped in, killed it.
Crushed it.
Crushed
hired
it.
Hired Gun.
Came in, blew
really
out
fun.
Two episode ideas. Very fun.
Very fun.
Much appreciated. We're going to try to steal Nick from Rick and Morty if the show goes to series.
Wait, did you say you got notes from them today, right?
Well,
kind of.
I mean, I got texted that we'll get notes.
Oh, okay. You don't have any feedback yet.
No. Okay. But yeah, we're going to poach Nick Rutherford first chance we can get. You got any fun trips coming up, Nick?
Yeah, I'm going to Scotland for a wedding in like 3 weeks.
Okay.
I have to get a kilt. Tomorrow I'm going to get fitted for a kilt. Like a full Highland Scotsman outfit. Yeah, with the little bag, the little purse, it's a Prince Henry jacket, which is like that little tails thing that doesn't close.
This is fun. Are you going to do no underwear underneath?
Yeah, you can't do underwear.
Well, I think you can.
Well, you can do anything you want, I suppose, but nobody's going to do underwear.
Wow.
Yeah. They did say, just be aware, you're probably not going to wear underwear. Know that UV rays bounce off of asphalt. And so you might get a sunburn on your dick and balls. That's like what the kilt guy told me. He's like, so use sunscreen down there. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what? You should check out. There's this guy, Danny McCaskill, who's like my favorite BMX guy. And he made this really, really cool BMX. It's shot really awesome. I watch it anytime I get like kind of drunk and I just want to get all inspired. It's called like... On the Way Home or On the Way Back or something. He's from Scotland, and it's him doing the craziest BMX stunts all over Scotland to like really cool music.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
It's just like a skate video, but BMX?
It's a skate video, but BMX and in Scotland.
Scotland's beautiful.
It makes me want to, A, get good at BMX, and B, go to Scotland.
Is he wearing a kilt on the bike?
No. And then I looked him up. It's like, this guy's broken his back 11 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a helmet on.
Yeah.
But that's about it. He jumps off of a lot of buildings.
Is he one of those BMX guys who's like always on a wheelie and hopping onto rocks and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big part of BMX. I didn't realize. It's a lot of hopping.
Oh, yeah. Like they climb on them.
Yeah.
They climb up stuff on their bikes.
Yeah.
So I'll send you the link.
Okay.
You can get all jacked up.
Yeah.
You can watch it in your kilt and dance.
That's good.
Where at in Scotland? Edinburgh?
Not Edinburgh. It's this place called Edinburgh. Does anybody know how to say Edinburgh? I think it's Edinburgh. Anyway, it's not there. I forget what it's called. It's actually in a ancient castle. The wedding is in a castle, and we're staying in the castle.
I think there's only castles in Scotland. I think people live in castles only in Scotland.
This is like it's like on the ruins of a castle. It's crazy. And then this following two nights, I'm staying on a boat that we have to take another boat to get to the wedding venue. It's going to be fun.
That sounds incredible.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Everything about a wedding is a pain in the ass. I have to now I got to coordinate. I'm flying into Edinburgh, and then I'm flying out and probably going straight to New York, I think.
Okay.
Because it's, I can't say that, I guess, but I'm going to New York to see some friends.
It's possible. I can say it. Like, Kyle Mooney might be done.
Yeah, it might be his last show.
He doesn't know.
He doesn't know.
And you and Kyle are best friends, and you might go visit Kyle for maybe possibly his last SNL.
Possibly his last show. The last show of the season for sure, and he's having a little party. And I haven't set foot in that building since they broke me, so I'm very nervous. Wait, did I tell you about, actually at Kyle's bachelor party, I went Did I tell you this?
You told me this, but you should tell people on the you should tell people on this podcast because Nick and I had equally terrible experiences Saturday Night Live. Very cool of them to split it up, but so we at no point got to write
together.
No,
we didn't interact whatsoever. No,
they hired me, fired me, then hired Nick and fired Nick, and never let our like best friendship at all try to do well there.
No, they negated that entirely.
Hey, maybe these guys would work great together.
Yeah.
No.
No, we'll never know. And then,
well, we do know because you worked on Wheeling Motors.
Yeah, it went great,
and we crushed it.
Yeah, it went great, and we had a good time.
And we had a great time, and we created some of the funniest shit I've had. Like, guys, if this episode 103 comes out and Lizard World Town's in there,
oh yeah,
you know what's
spin-off.
Up.
Spinoff,
yeah, spinoff.
Lizard World Town.
Yeah, yeah. One of our characters has an advanced brain or an unadvanced brain. We're not sure yet.
Yeah, he's the smartest guy or the dumbest guy.
Yeah,
we don't really know.
Big fantasy of Lizard
World. Yeah, he has like a Tolkien size fantasy land he's created in his mind called Lizard Town World.
Lizard World Town.
Lizard World Town.
Yeah, it's two competing factions. One's run by Mayor McScales and the other one is King Tail.
Yeah, King Tail and Mayor McScales, they do not get along.
They do not get along except for at the DMZ.
Mm-hmm, between their two countries.
Yeah, the Demilitarized Zone. And if you're wondering which one is North Korea, it's both of them.
They're both North Korea.
And they only get along because they hate crickets.
That's the only thing that unites them. Hey, crickets.
This is a show about selling cars. And this is where we developed. Like, Summer texted, like, how's writing going? I go, we spent about 3 hours on Lizard World Town this morning, which is fun, but not what we should be doing.
Yeah, well, that was just pouring out of us. You know?
So much easier to write.
Yeah, you don't shy away from inspiration.
No.
You know, follow your joy.
So, either way, you worked at SNL, you wrote there.
I worked at SNL. You know, if anybody's listening to this podcast, they know how traumatic it can be and how damaging it can be to your psyche and your ego. Right. So when I got fired, it was very damaging. We went to Florida for Kyle.
This is like 5 years after you were fired.
This is easily like 7 years after I was fired.
Wow.
And we go to Florida for Kyle's bachelor party. We go to Big Disney World and we go to the big Universal Studios. And Universal Studios has a ride called, like, the 30 Rock Experience, which is, like, a motion ride about the Jimmy Fallon show or something. And I was in Universal Studios. I was like, I bet I got to ride that. I bet that'll be fun. I'm on mushrooms, so pretty raw. I go in, and it's just a perfect replica of 30 Rock. And I got triggered immediately. I was the saddest I've ever been.
Yeah.
I was like, and now I'm stuck in a line going through the lobby of 30 Rock and then watching Jimmy Fallon and the Roots sing, like, how you have to keep your hands inside the vehicle. It was the saddest I've ever been. I, like, walked out of there and just had to go sit down.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. I've been back only when I do Seth Meyers. And even after doing stand up and murdering on Seth Meyers, I'll go up to the 17th floor, and all of the joy of my dream of doing a late night set is drained within seconds, and I go, why'd I do this?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm gonna go to the show, honestly. I might just hang out and meet up afterwards.
Oh,
I don't want to sit in that writer's room.
I'm like, I was here to do TV, and you still look down on me.
Yeah. And I'm downstairs. I'm featured on your show.
Yeah.
The one you produce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm scared.
I know.
Also, the saddest thing I ever did, the version of that was, it was when I was fired but still living there. And Bill Hader was hosting. And I was like, this was like the third week or something.
I think it was the first week because that was my first show.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, I decided it was Tuesday or something writing night. And I didn't know what else to do because all my friends live there. My only new friend that moved to town was you, and you were working there too. So I was like, all my friends are at 30 Rock. I'm going to 30 Rock. And I went up and I was just sitting with Che and Tim Robinson and Zach Cannon. And they were pitching ideas around. And Bill Hader came in because, you know, he's
the
host.
That's what they do. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, hey, what's going on, guys? And he's like, clearly was like, wait. And I was like, hey,
I'm not supposed to be
here. I was like, I just came up to hang out. I was on the show last year. And like, the genuine concern in his eyes, he was like, oh, fuck, bud. You know, like
are you going to shoot the place up?
No, or just like he was clear. He's clear, like, this is a bad idea. He didn't say it, but just like I could tell he was like,
why you got to go, man.
This isn't. You're not handling this great.
You're not going to sleep tonight.
Yeah. He didn't say that at all, but it just was the biggest, just like, ooh, Bill Hader is like, this is not a good idea, buddy.
It's like showing up at your ex's with a jukebox, but it's been like years. Like, and she's married and has kids, and you're just like, whoa, this got sad.
Yeah, you should probably not, maybe you don't want to see this.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about catching the scaries there. I feel like I'm going to
It'll be long enough, and
It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
I haven't been to New York in so long anyway. It'll be a good trip.
No, it's going to be super fun. Yeah. Well, this was super fun.
Yeah.
This is great. We have an awesome guest this week. Back to non-repeat guests. She's great. She's an awesome comedian. Mitra Johari. You know her.
Of course I do. She's great. She's awesome.
Super funny. We had a great
one of the
interview.
Busy Debras.
Yeah, one of the three, which premieres April 24th, like coming up.
Oh, nice,
this week.
Nice.
Or next week.
I think that's Sunday. Yeah, April 24th.
Okay. Yeah, because I have to do a 420 show, which is a Wednesday. Yeah. So enjoy this interview.
Are you going to smoke weed for the 420 show?
No, I've never smoked weed.
I know, you don't smoke weed.
Yeah, never, ever. If I'm ever smoking weed, it's as bad.
Yeah, and it's definitely not before going on
wasted.
Stage.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't perform high at all. It's crazy. I don't know how people do it.
No, I haven't. Yeah, I know some people have. But then some people are like, I don't know how you had. I couldn't have like six beers and go on stage.
Yeah. Well, I can't go on stage without six beers. So, touche.
Yeah, exactly. So enjoy this interview with Mitra. If you see Nick in Scotland, say hi to Nick. When does Rick and Morty's room start back up?
I don't know. A couple weeks, I think. So we're going to get kicking on season 8 in this month, probably.
Wow, that is a lot.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Can't wait to pluck you.
Yeah.
All right.
I know. We got to finish the season so I can jump on your show.
Yeah. Enjoy this. I mean, we are speaking way out of turn.
Yes, absolutely.
I have many more hoops to jump through.
Oh, yeah.
But enjoy this episode with Mitra Johari and check out her show, Three Busy Debras, which premieres, I'm pretty sure, April 24th. We definitely say it in this interview. Watch it. It's cool. She rocks. And have a great freaking week. This week's episode of Entry Level is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. Guys, I have stress. My job is stressful. I'm sure your job is stressful. All jobs are stressful. They're not easy. If you have an easy job, what are you doing listening to this podcast? You should probably be just chilling at your easy job. And I actually signed up for BetterHelp online therapy because I wanted to find a better way to deal with my stress than drinking beer. Because if I would get bad news or like, hey, you didn't do more work, I was like, okay, I'll go have a beer and that'll help me cope. That's not the way to cope with things. So I went to BetterHelp.com and I put in all my stuff. And they matched me with this really rad guy who's from the Midwest, and he also likes to camp. And it was a match made in heaven. I've met with him a couple times online. It's very easy whenever I want to. And we talk about better ways to deal with stress. And he's very helpful and he's cool about, he's like, yeah, that's a great way to deal with stress. And sometimes he's not cool. He's like, well, maybe don't do that. And it's very helpful. And he's available every day through texts or emails, or if I need it to, calls or Zooms. But we've been meeting once a week and it is really rad. I like BetterHelp. I use it. I'm not lying. It's awesome. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even online chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. That's not your thing. You don't have to do it. And it's much more affordable, and I can stress that. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy. Give it a try and see if online therapy can help lower your stress. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and entry-level podcast listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/Brooks. That's BetterHelp.com/Brooks. Welcome to this week's episode of Entry Level. She came over. She's here. She's a friend. Mitra Johari, how are you?
Hi, Brooks. I'm good.
So Three Busy Debras, does it just premiere?
It's coming out as time of recording in like two or three weeks.
Okay, so it'll be coming out in like 2 weeks then, because I've been trying to get you on the podcast forever, but you were filming it.
Yes. So it comes out April 24th. Okay. 2022.
Very exciting.
For people listening to this generations to come, I want to make sure they know the year.
This is like what they sent into space. It's this podcast. And then photos of atoms.
Of atoms?
That's what they...
ATOMs.
Yeah, ATOMs. Yeah. That's what they sent into space. It's like a record.
Oh.
It's a gold record that if you play it, someone's saying like hello, and it's a photo of a man, like a drawing of a man and a woman, and then a hydrogen, like a water molecule.
Smart.
They just fired that off in 1970. They're like, I don't know, if somebody finds it, they'll figure it out.
Love that.
Yeah. And I think a map to Earth.
Oh. Yes, less useful.
Yeah. Like, come find us. How are you doing, though?
I'm good. I went and saw family for like 2 weeks.
Okay, which is, I'm excited to find out about your family.
My little sister's getting married.
Okay.
So I went back home to Cincinnati to go wedding dress shopping with her, which was very cute. She's wedding girl, so it was like very precious, and I cried a lot.
Oh, that's fun.
It was really cute. And then my mom and grandma are in Louisville, so I saw them and
right there.
Hung out in Nashville for a weekend.
Whoa. You did it up.
I did it up.
Nashville, that was that for the bridal? Was that for the...
For Bright Eyes with Wit.
Wait, for Bright Eyes? Mm-hmm. I meant for like a...
For Bachelorette.
Bachelorette.
We are doing Bachelorette there. I have done Bachelorette there.
I was going to say, Nashville is the Bachelorette party capital of the world.
Yes. I went to one where, first of all, it was like Memorial Day weekend, so it was hell there because everyone was doing their Bachelorette party. And... every bar, you know, normally when you have a bachelorette party, like you go into a bar and like somebody wants to like buy the bride a shot or whatever. And every bar we went into was just full of other bachelorette parties.
Yes.
And we went to, we did this thing where they tie a like a land bound pontoon to the back of a pickup truck and they just drive you around downtown.
That's a trail. You were in the land bound pontoon.
It's just trailer like. Tied to the back of the truck, and this poor guy drives around in circles around downtown Nashville while you like play music and drink in the back of the pontoon.
It's not a pontoon. You guys are just on a flat wagon.
Yeah, completely. It was so dumb and trashy and really, really funny.
Yeah.
Like if we thought about what we were doing for like 1 second while it was happening, I think I would have been really embarrassed. But
you got to lean in.
You got to power through.
Yeah.
It was me and the bride's idea. I really wanted to do it.
Yeah.
But it was really, really stupid. If you zoom out, you're in trouble. But
Well, I've been to Nashville. How was Bride Eyes? I just saw they're playing the Greek.
Oh, they're Wit's favorite band.
I know.
So yeah. Christian Lee Hudson opened and I really liked watching him open.
That's fun. Where was the show?
The Ryman.
Oh shit.
Yeah, so like it was very cool for that reason.
That's fun all around.
Yeah. It was fun.
And the Nashville's super fun.
Nashville's great.
Did you go to Third Man Records?
No, I think Wit did actually before I got there.
Sure you did. It's the number one spot you have to go if you're a boy.
We stayed at Margaritaville.
Wait, what?
We stayed at Margaritaville.
What's Margaritaville?
Margaritaville Hotel.
There's one there?
Yes, there is, but the Margaritaville restaurant is not in the hotel, which I thought was really bad planning.
This is incredible.
Yeah. And then we went to Honky Tonks. It was great. It was so fun.
Okay. All right. Well, we all enjoy Nashville. Shout out to Nashville. but this isn't about Nashville.
Right.
This is about you and your family, because I didn't realize you were from Cincinnati and that you had gone to Ohio State. And here's my beef, because you sent out a tweet that I got. I was like, I think I was drunk on that track. But Iowa, I look up to Ohio. You know, I wish I was Ohio. And then you're from Ohio and you wish you lived in New York.
Yes.
Because your tweet was...
Well, I wanted to go to Chicago, but then I spent time in Chicago in college, and then I was like, you know, maybe I'll skip Chicago, even though I liked Chicago.
Okay, exactly. Basically, all I'm saying is you were like, enough NYU kids getting stuff. How about Ohio State kids? And I'm like, you are the NYU of the Midwest.
Right. And I didn't know that. That's my privilege.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. Because you don't know that.
Somebody tweeted that, and then I was like, that's so true. Like, where's like our shine?
And I'm like, your shine is you win everything.
That's true.
I'm fucking over here in Iowa wishing I went to Ohio State.
I know. We really did win a lot, especially when I was there. There were a bunch of national championships. Mm-hmm. It was so fun. I mean, I don't even like consider myself a football fan, but I bought tickets to the games. Marching band's amazing.
You get gobbled up in it, man, like small college towns.
Yeah.
Like, it's fun.
It's fun. I mean, it's just the spectacle of it.
Yeah.
I loved. I mean, the halftime shows that the marching band put on were, like, insane. But also just the game themselves, like, being in this big arena full of people. I watched this one. I think it was against Wisconsin. And there was, like, an insane comeback in the fourth quarter. We, like, stormed the field. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. It was so fun.
Yeah.
It was so fun. I was so glad I did it. I almost didn't do it. I only bought tickets my freshman year because they were so expensive.
Yeah, but I only went to one game ever. It was my first game of my freshman year. And then I was like, oh, I don't need to go in there.
Yeah.
I just drink around it.
Yeah. I mean, the rest of college, I mean, not just the games. It was really, I mean, the way that I drank in college, I Yeah.
So Summer went to like college in San Francisco, my girlfriend, and like doesn't understand like what it's like to go to like a real college town.
Yeah.
Where it's like, no, this is run by children. This is a real Neverland, whatever, you know, the Peter Pan place.
Yes. I mean, it's like all these like beautiful houses around the campus that just have like 18 disgusting guys living in them with like no furniture.
Right.
And like, it was so grim. Thinking yeah. about like the parties there and like the what we were drinking and like when we started and when we finished mm-hmm. and how cool it was to stay up long enough that you watched the sunrise. Like,
oh man, I was such a dumb problem with like people who would go to bed early so they could wake up early to tailgate. I'm like, how about you party all night and then you just keep tailgating, man?
Yeah.
I was like, so sad. Oh, that's sad.
It's so sad. Yeah, there was one night because we would always slap the bag like the from the Franzia
right,
dog
yeah.
boxes. And there was one night I slapped the bag to start the night, threw up, went back out, had sex with someone on my improv team, and then went home. Just yeah. like the way that it was like the rallying was mm-hmm. glamorized. It's like if I drank enough wine that I threw up now, I would be out for like right. days, and I would like.
I have a new joke about, have you ever thrown up wine? It bums the whole party out because you have to explain it's not blood.
It is grim. Like yeah. watch, like throwing up red wine is disgusting, yeah. and I did it so much.
Yeah.
Me and like all the girls would like get a box of wine. We're like, we're not doing like, we're not doing Natty Light. We're doing Franzia. And it was so disgusting.
Oh man! And you think you're so dumb because we grew up in such trash areas that we're like, this is nice.
Of course. Well, it's like I'm not drinking like the most watered down beer. I'm mm-hmm. drinking the most watered down wine.
Yeah. When I found out I had gotten a job to move to Los Angeles, I celebrated by getting 6 fat tires. And I was like, this is living.
I never, when I got into my improv group in college, the big thing was that they would tape a 4 Loco to your hand and you had to finish it by the deadline. No consequences.
What deadline?
Just at the end of the night. Like it was just like drink it by the end of, like you have this amount of time. I'm sure they gave us like a time limit, and I blacked out immediately. And I didn't know what it really was.
Right.
And I just met all these guys, and it was like sort of classic, like scary college moment where I just woke up in someone's bed, and then mm-hmm. but then it was like all of them tending to me, but okay. I was really dumb. It was really stupid. And then I like did it again. Because we're so bored. I don't know.
No, it's
what, I'm going to get a hobby. I'm going to learn something.
No, thanks. Yeah, the problem in Iowa City was on your 21st birthday, the week of your 21st birthday, you could get 21 pitchers for $21.
Scary.
At like every single bar. And it was the week 21. Of the week of your birthday. So there was like 3 years where at every day I knew someone who was turning 21. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like within that week,
yes.
like a grade above me or below me. Like there was like a solid 3 years where every night was like, we have 21 pitchers for $20,
yes.
right? And I was like, well, I'm stupid not to take advantage of this.
It's economics.
Yeah. I'm saving everybody money. Okay, so, Mitra, where are you from, though?
Like 30 minutes outside of Cincinnati.
Okay.
Westchester, Ohio. We grew up, like, right by a farm. But actually, this week I went, when I was home 2 weeks ago, I guess, much of the farm has been bought, and it has all been bulldozed in the past couple years.
Whoa.
Of the pandemic, and it was really sad.
That's a bummer.
I like grew up like the horses didn't come up to my yard, but they came to my next door neighbor's yard, and it was like very sort of idyllic and sweet. And we would like drive for miles and miles through the farms, and it's sort of all been bought and sold. But the last holdout was right by our house, mm-hmm. and it just got sold.
Wait, are your parents still living there?
My parents do still live in Cincinnati, and my brother and sister.
But
do.
I meant at the house.
My dad does.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
All right. So then you really, because like my family moved, so if I ever want to like see where I grew up, it's like an hour from where my parents live.
Yeah, it's like I don't really care that much.
Right.
But yeah. Since it's there, mm-hmm. it's where I'm staying, so I'll see it. But
well, that's crazy. That's so you grew up like how far outside of like a town? Like if you wanted to go into town,
it's like, I mean, Cincinnati. Maybe a 25-minute drive, like downtown Cincinnati.
Oh, shit. Okay. So you're like a suburb.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. See, for me, it was like 10 minutes to a town of 5,000.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then
yeah, yeah.
hours.
Yeah. Ours like got I mean, we watched it, like, get developed in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. Like, it was all farm around us, and then now it's, like, all Targets.
Yeah.
They're, like, the farm that I was on, I think they're probably, or not that I, but I, that I was next door to, because we were, like, one of the early developments near the farm. It now has, like, 3 Targets.
That's crazy.
Within the scope of the farm.
Yeah. Okay, so you're growing up southern Ohio, mm-hmm. which is very close to the South.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I don't, when I think Ohio, I think Ohio State, and then I forget, like, oh no, it touches like Kentucky.
Yeah, I still think of Cincinnati as like Midwest, so it doesn't feel very like Southern to
right.
me.
What's the town directly across the river in Kentucky?
Covington.
Oh, so, shit, I don't know.
And there's like Lexington.
Is there Newport?
Yeah, Newport okay. on the Levee is like the sort of cute downtown area.
Okay, I did some Newport show one time. I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah, Newport's cool.
Yeah. Okay, rad. What was your first gig? What are you doing for money growing up? What are you spending that money on?
So outside of like baby, because I lived in a cul-de-sac, so I was it was very scary thinking about like being 13 and how I always had like 8 kids that I was in charge of them. But my first actual job was data entry at an engineering company.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fun.
My dad's an engineer, and I like
what type?
He's an aircraft engineer.
Whoa, cool.
Smarty. But I would like digitize documents and do data entry, mm-hmm. Starting from like 14 through I did it sometimes on winter break in college too.
Yeah. But it's a quick glimpse into I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I did data entry from like 14 to 22 though.
Yeah.
Because I went straight from that to I like helped run a dining hall at Ohio State. But I did all the like the job interviewing and all the data entry.
Well, that's fun. The job interviewing's fun.
The job interviewing was really fun because also it was like basically anybody would get a job, and if you didn't get a job, it was like really
you would find. Okay, I want to get to you interviewing people and like what it would take for them not get a job. But I always find it interesting. What is 15, 16-year-old Mitra spending her data entry money on? Like I always. I'm interested in that.
I really like saved my money.
Really?
And then when I got to college, I would like go to Chicago a lot to watch comedy. So I mostly just saved it, and then also would get like high-waisted skirts from H&M or whatever. But but mostly I saved it.
Okay.
And wanted to travel and stuff, and
well,
you
that
know, also
is very
car gas money type stuff.
Well, that's but what I enjoy about you, because I'm like, okay, Mitra has it together, and then you're like, no, I barf and sleep with people I shouldn't sleep with sometimes. So I'm like, all right, there we go, I can get behind that. Because saving money, that was just foreign. I didn't know you could still. I don't know you're supposed to do that.
I think, yeah, I don't know. I think like my dad is so frugal that it was just like a natural thing.
Well, mine is so frugal that I wanted to do the opposite.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it goes either way with that.
Completely. I think like I don't know. I think like I'm definitely dumber with my money now than I am than I was then.
Really?
Or at least I feel dumber with my money. Like I think also like I'm more aware of how dumb I am with my money, mm-hmm. because I know that there are people that are way smarter with their money.
Yes.
And I feel embarrassed and ashamed of that.
Right. Yeah. It's like we've done the same thing for our whole lives. How do you have a home?
Yes.
And they're like, well, I didn't, you know, I didn't do everything I wanted every second of the day. I was like, oh, yes. Okay. Okay.
Interesting.
That's
I don't think I care like that.
Right. Okay. You finish high school. And then what do you go to Ohio State for?
Initially I wanted to study neuroscience.
Okay.
And then I started doing comedy and I dropped that.
Right. I almost transferred to Ohio State to do nuclear engineering.
Because, right, we talked about that.
Yeah, because they have the nuclear engineering program.
They have a really good engineering program.
Yeah, but particular nuclear engineering.
And is that like a rare
major? Yeah, there's not very many people that have it. I was doing biomedical and I got really into nuclear like chemistry. And I was like, ooh, and this is my way to go to Ohio State. Then I found out the only job you have with that is you live in submarines and work for the government.
Really bad.
Yeah, I was like, I don't want to live in submarines. I'll just stay in Iowa City. Okay, so you go there for neuroscience,
mm-hmm.
and then I want to talk about interviews. Your interviews first.
Yes.
Then we'll get into comedy.
Well, so I initially was hired to do just the data entry and stuff, and mm-hmm. then they needed. I think there was like a bunch of management shifting, so I ended up doing the interviews, and it was really just like, do they seem like they're gonna hurt somebody or something? Like, are they like? It's really like, are they brain dead? Are they scary? If not, please hire them.
So was it like 80% hire rate or more?
Probably 90. Yeah. Like, it was really rare that someone didn't get hired. And I was also like, I don't want to tell someone they can't have a job. Like, I was not good at it. Yeah. Because also, it was like, I was like 19 being like, what's your prior work experience? Like,
right.
And so I was working there, and I was working at a bar restaurant in downtown Columbus.
Okay. Which one?
It's called Sidebar. And I was like a hostess slash busser, depending on the day.
Right. Is Katzinger's? That's in Columbus,
yes,
right?
Germantown. That's my favorite sandwich spot. I love Katzinger's. And it's right by this real, I forget the name of the bookstore, but this really, really cute bookstore. But German Village is real. Germantown, German Village, I can't remember.
I always eat a pickle out of the barrel when I'm there.
Yes.
It's very fun.
It's really cute.
So then how did you find comedy and why?
Right when I got to college, my friend asked me to try out for the improv group with her because I did theater in high school.
What type of theater? Were you serious about it?
I was very serious about it. I wanted to go to school for it, but I didn't get enough money and scholarships.
Hence
to do
the
it.
NYU shade.
Oh yeah, but I think like.
I mean, I wanted to go to NYU.
I know, I really did. I really wanted to go to Columbia.
In Chicago?
No, in New York. Okay. I really wanted to go to Columbia because they had Oliver Sacks was a professor in their neuroscience department, and whoa. I had like been reading all of his like pop science.
That's
kind of,
fun.
And I was like, I want to be there with Mr. Oliver Sacks, but didn't work out.
Right. I know. It's like also to go.
It's so
for you to
money.
Afford to, for anyone to be able to afford to send their child to live in New York City and then go pay money to live there and pay money to go to those schools, fuck off.
It's so much money. I mean, and then I got like a full ride to Ohio State. Yeah. So it was just like, there was just nowhere else that I was going
to
go.
It's a great, if you grow up in the Midwest, fucking go to your local state school. And then that's a great jumping off point. You're 22 and you can make a little bit more money when you leave.
Completely. And you're not going to be like broke, like in debt forever.
Right. I also would have died if I moved to New York when I was 18.
Me too. I'm so glad that I didn't end up going there. Yeah. I was such a mess for all of college. And not that I wasn't a mess when I got to New York, but I at least was like a little bit less of a mess.
Right. Of course. Yeah. I couldn't. If I behaved like I did in Iowa City, in New York City, I would be dead.
Yeah,
for sure.
Me like, too.
I would have been robbed.
I didn't say no to anything. But there was just less available.
You're right.
I would have had to try a lot harder to get really cool drugs
right.
in Ohio. And I was like, I don't really care that much.
No.
And then New York, seeing what was available. I was like, if I would have just had someone offering me this, because I did coke the second day I was in New York. Like, I was like, yes, I've always wanted to try this. Like, if I had had that.
At 18, yeah. I never even tried drugs until I was 26.
Yeah.
And thank God.
Right. I mean, I think like obviously like 22, I wasn't making amazing decisions, but mm-hmm. the difference between 18 and 22
is a lot.
Was good.
But you're super into theater.
I was super into theater in high school. I did like all the academic clubs. I was kind of like real grade grubber. Like I did like academic quiz team and like Latin club and math club and all that stuff. And then theater and soccer. But I really wanted to do theater in college, and then I couldn't. So my friend asked me to try out for...
Why couldn't you do theater at Ohio State? They don't have it?
They have it,
right.
But it was just like, well, it's not great.
I took an acting class at Iowa. I remember I shook so bad the whole time. I was so nervous.
That's sweet. I don't know. I did like community theater in Columbus too. My friend asked me to try out for the improv group with her because she wanted someone to go with
her. And did you grow up loving comedy?
No.
Really?
I didn't not love it. I just didn't really care. I just didn't like think
about it.
Do
you not have older siblings?
I'm the oldest.
Okay. That's like pretty important. If your like parents aren't into it, you know, you need somebody to kind of intro you.
Yeah. No one did. I mean, I always had like my theater teachers and directors in high school were always like, you need to like embrace that you're funny. Mm-hmm. You're fun. It's fun to watch you be funny. And I was like, no, bitch. Like, I'm serious. Meanwhile, like, since I was like the ethnic girl, I was like playing every witch and like character actor or whatever. So I was like, no choice but to be funny. But like, backed into a corner a little bit. But then I tried out for the improv group and I like loved it so much. And I just felt like I never really cared about like what I was studying. And mm-hmm. then that was the first thing that I was like, oh, I really, really care about this. I should
That's
try really hard.
So fun.
Yeah.
So did you finish? Did you switch majors or?
I dropped out. I Daily Show came to my college.
Wait. Okay. I want to get to that. So you got the improv. What was that like? Because like the first time you do comedy, it sounds like it clicks incredibly. What was that like?
Yes. Well, I wanted to drop out immediately, but I was sort of like, well, what what I do.
But what was the improv? What was your first improv experience?
I just like, I got into the group like 2 weeks into school, and then I did a show, and I was I like this. I feel really funny.
2 weeks into school, you found that?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and I was just like, oh, I think that like that's like kind of what I'm gonna be, I hope, mm-hmm. and or what I'm gonna try to do. And I got really obsessed, and I like read all the comedy books and like binged 30 Rock or whatever. Like I just like learned, like studied that more than I studied
right.
my
absolutely.
School.
So then the Daily Show comes.
Daily, and I had always watched Daily Show with my dad. And
it's only getting better now too.
So true.
I mean, once they got Jon Stewart and they brought in the comedic genius that is Trevor Noah, wow, that show took off like a rocket.
No notes.
I still watch South Park. That's like the one thing I watch on
me too.
And they will have a commercial for the Daily Show, and I always have to like explain to Summer whatever they show. I go, that's the best joke they have. That's the one they're saying. There's more of this.
Isn't it fun to like explain that stuff to someone who like doesn't really?
Well, I'm
care?
Just like, like that joke was the worst joke I've ever heard, and they're proud of that.
Okay, honey, go to bed.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just like ripping my hair out, being like, that's because I like grew up on the Daily Show. I loved it, and I'm just like, this guy's driving it off a cliff.
You know, what are we gonna do? But
so be Adam mad about Lowett. It, talk about it out loud into a podcast. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
No, so Adam Lowett, Al Madrigal, and John Hodgman came to Ohio State. And they did one of those like just like big stand-up shows mm-hmm. for the school, and then they had a short Q&A at the end. So I like ran to the front of the line. And
whoa.
I was like, do you have interns? And I will like never forget. How do you become an intern?
Okay.
And John Hodgman was like, by asking a question at a comedy show at a college. And I was like, but I think like I was like so like shaken by that. But Adam was like, come talk to me after the show.
Right.
And because he had started as an intern mm-hmm. at Daily Show, and then he had like sort of worked his way up. Not sort of, he did. So I went up to him at the show, and then like it worked.
Incredible.
And
that's
so
insane.
It was amazing. And they were like, so I still have the voicemail of them saying I had an interview. And they were like, you can either do it over the phone or you can fly to New York. And I was like, I saved up all my money and mm-hmm. I bought a ticket to New York. And I like was like I wore like high heels to my interview because I didn't know like what you're supposed to wear for like a TV interview.
Of course.
And I like cried as soon as I got in the building, and then was being like so insane.
What building did they shoot in?
In like a Hell's Kitchen. It's like 55th and
okay.
Like I don't know, 10th or something, like okay. 11th.
Yeah.
And I interviewed and it was great. And then I did the internship, and everyone was like, so I think I just had that like stink of someone who like needed it so bad.
Right.
So everyone was so, so sweet. And then I dropped out of school because I was like, I know people in New York, and I didn't know people in New York before. So I should probably quit now. And
so did you do 1 year at Ohio State?
I did like sort of three, but I left
sort of
lot.
Three.
Like I left school a lot.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Like I
when was this internship, I guess?
That was my junior year, but
okay.
I had already been leaving for other stuff.
Yeah.
Like half the year. So I was not really there.
What were you leaving for? Like comedy?
So at a different improv thing, I met, this group called Baby Wants Candy performed. They're like a musical improv group, and I was like talking to them after the show. They were like adults from Chicago, and I was like, and they were like, you know, we go to the Fringe Festival in Edinburgh, and we have interns.
Oh.
And I was like, give me your producer's email.
Like, yeah. Dude, you're killing it at like you're hustling. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy how I don't know about you. I'm not speaking for you, but like the amount of hustle I had in college, I would never do that now.
Right. I think, but it's like, we just like, you want it so bad.
Yeah, you're 18 and 19 and 20. You're like so excited and jacked up. I'm like,
and I think like I had a really. Like there just was this sense of urgency of like, this will never happen again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when will these people be here again?
Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So I interned with at the Fringe Festival in Scotland. So basically like every year I would just like save all my money, blow it on a plane ticket,
mm-hmm.
go there, and then like, yeah, hang there and like drink gin and tonics for a month. And like,
that's incredible. So it's like, by the time the Daily Show came, you were like at least somewhat aware of the entertainment industry. It wasn't like you had only been in Columbus.
Right. I had been, yeah, I'd been going to Chicago, and I had done the Fringe Festival at that point. And, but I still like, New York was like still very like far away feeling.
Yeah.
And especially like specifically The Daily Show was just so important to me. And I was like, I just have to like not waste this. But so after working there, I quit school because I was just like, I know people in New York. I'm never going to know people in New York again. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
And then they were just so nice to me. They kept like bringing me in to like transcribe and PA and stuff. And then I got hired on Full Frontal to be their writer's assistant.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's very fun. So did you go over to Full Frontal when it spun off?
Yeah. I was like one of the first hires there.
Cool. So were you working at Daily Show when John Oliver ran it for that, like the 3 months when Stuart left to go shoot that movie?
I interned after that.
After that?
Or maybe, I don't remember. I think it was right after that.
Okay.
Because it was after the movie, but before Stuart quit.
Okay. Right. Of course. Because you're talking about it proudly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. But in between that was like, you know, nannying. I sold mattresses. That was my job right before.
Where at?
Casper. I worked in their New York showroom.
Okay.
And that was my like last sort of day job before working in TV.
Okay. Hold on. Casper. I cannot. So you... People come in, because Casper's thing is they send you a mattress, right?
They send you a mattress, but they have this.
You worked in the store.
Yes. it's like an online company. So like they, you can't buy the, like you, so they had this like huge, beautiful apartment in Soho. And I would go there a few days a week and just sit in the apartment in Soho. And then every now and then people would come in and like try out the mattress. They would like lay on the mattress and see if they liked it, and then they'd ask me questions. They'd be like, yeah, Casper mattress is actually amazing because it's three layers, and there's like a foam layer, then there's this layer, and there's this layer. And then you know, knowing all this trivia. But it was amazing because A, I wasn't on commission, and mm-hmm. B, there was only one kind of mattress, so I didn't have to know anything about anything.
You just got to hang out, get paid, and probably watch comedy.
Yeah, and just like I was working there with friends, and like I would just write all day.
Yeah.
And, like, it was amazing.
That's a great New York job.
It was perfect. Okay. I loved that job. I've loved pretty much every job I've had. I busing and working at Casper were like two of my favorite jobs ever.
Well, there's something like so like wonderful about just jobs compared to entertainment jobs. You know what I mean? Like, it's like you structure. You finish something. It's yeah. done. You move on to another task versus like writing. It's like, is it done?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You tell me if it's fucking done.
Yeah.
Like, when is it done?
It's never done.
I miss so much just like the idea of like a task that they're like, that's why I like Legos. Like, did you ever watch the South Park documentary, 6 Days to Air?
Yes, I love that.
And like, I really started getting it like later of like how Trey, when he's freaking out, he just puts together Legos.
Mm.
And it's like, oh, he just wants some structure for a second.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, yeah, that's just like any sort of.
That's
A
how I feel
B
about
equals C.
Pottery. I started doing pottery a few
yeah.
years ago, and it's like, it's just enough activity that I like can't spin out about other stuff
because mm-hmm.
you have to be very like physically and mentally present, or else you fuck up the thing that you're making on the wheel.
Whoa, dude! Will you send me a photo of your favorite pottery thing you've made, and I'll
yes.
put it on the Instagram?
Oh yeah, I will.
Okay, that's very exciting. So you decide to go to New York. You're kind of getting hired in and out to PA at The Daily Show. You have this other job at Casper.
Mm-hmm.
How long does that go on before things start rocking?
I was at Casper not for very long, like 4 months or something.
That's
like that.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. But I interned at Late Night with Seth Meyers, like post dropping out.
When?
2015.
So I was there. So I did half. Seth hired me to go do SNL and mm-hmm. then left halfway through. And I was like, but that's the guy. And then when he was gone, I was fucked. But I was there when he started Late Night, and I would go down to his offices and just be so jealous of how friendly and wonderful that environment was.
Everyone was so nice. I
yeah.
got really lucky.
It was like the anti-SNL vibe.
It was very warm. Both places I was at were really, really nice to me.
Yeah, and plus you're there with Connor
mm-hmm.
and everybody was there then.
Ben Warhite and Chioke.
Ben is so fun. Ben just did a thing this week on the show that made me really laugh.
Oh, really?
But, Michelle Wolf was there then.
Michelle Wolf was yeah. there.
Those are like my favorite comedians. All those people are so unique and wonderful.
It was really cool. Yeah, and that's why I was there for my first like 6 months post moving to New York.
Okay, and you're an intern or a PA?
I was an intern.
Okay.
But
what does an intern do at The Daily Show and a late night show?
Well, at Daily Show, we were in like different departments, so like it was a lot of just like running errands and like doing stuff around the office. But then like in downtime, like there was this one of the directors, Paul Pennellino, was like so sweet and would like show me what all the screens did and what they all meant and stuff. And like I did learn a lot, but it was a lot of like, we need a snow cone machine, go out in the snow and find one, go to 18 stores, and then getting back with like a snow cone machine and having it be like, actually we cut the bit, sorry.
Yeah.
And then it's Seth Meyers. I was in Scripps, so I was just running new copies of Scripps everywhere.
Yeah.
And like scanning a lot of stuff.
But I mean, just like absorbing all the comedy that's happening.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
I was so happy.
And also it takes the fucking, it demystifies it so much when you see it being made every day.
Yeah. Yeah, it made it less, I mean, it definitely was still very intimidating and still even then felt incredibly inaccessible, but right. Maybe like 10% less so.
Yeah, the first time I ever saw a TV show being made was I was in the cold open of SNL, and I was like, I should have watched one of these before I did it. This is so fucking scary.
It's scary.
Yeah.
It's such a big machine and yeah. So many people making it happen.
Well, that's so dope. I love Seth Meyers. So then
but I was making less money at interning than I was nannying, so I was nannying more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what happened, like what improv route did you go? UCB or?
I did all of UCB, and I did I took classes at Annoyance too when it was open.
Whoa, I never even walked in there.
It was awesome.
Yeah,
I loved
it. It seemed like with all the cool improv kids did.
It's where I got so lucky because I moved there like right when the Annoyance opened, and I knew about all those people from Chicago. And
yeah,
I had,
it's like 80 did it right, and I think
did
Connor
it.
Maybe
Connor Gary. I mean, I got really lucky because I'd met Gary in Chicago, so I kind of like had this sort of in knowing about this place. So
Chicago
like,
is, I will say, the Chicago. I spent a little bit of time there, and when I moved to LA, all the people from Chicago who I'd met in Chicago helped me big time in Los Angeles.
Yeah,
like Chicago looks out for its own.
They do, and like I mean, I was so lucky because I like knew about that those people, and I knew about Holy Fuck Comedy Hour, and that was like, you know, Connor, Gary, John Reynolds, Carmen Christopher, Annie Donnelly, like a bunch of like just really 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 funny people that I loved. So I would go to that show every week, and then very quickly after permanently moving to New York, they like I had just been there sort of lurking around so much and had started hanging out with them, and I got to start guesting on that show and got added to that weekly show very quickly after moving. I
that's
think
dope.
Also just because they needed girls, but like,
no, or because you're funny.
Both, I think.
Yeah.
And then yeah, it was just like on that show, and it was like every week you had to make a new bit, and mm-hmm. it was like. I just had to like get over myself so quickly and be like, stop, like you can't be nervous because you just have to do something every
right
week.
Well, Whitmer, your boyfriend, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, his show that he put on, I helped me infinitely because I would do a weekly thing where I would do a character every week.
Yes, and it's that's what Holy Fuck was. You would just do a sketch every week.
Yeah, so I would go up as a character each week, something new, and it was like so like that's how everything happened for me. I was like, oh, I don't just stand up is great, but it's kind of a little too smug when I just do that. Like, I'm wearing rollerblades on stage. That's where it's at, baby.
Yeah, just not being too serious. Oh, well, I did that too. I really hurt myself.
Oh, really?
Wearing rollerblades around because I didn't know how to rollerblade. But I was like, I really want to rollerblade this week. And then I ate shit so hard and everyone was so scared.
Oh, really? Oh, see, my thing was I was way better at rollerblading than you would think. And my like goal in like fifth grade was to be in a roller derby because a girl from Olwine, Iowa was on TNT's roller derby. And I was like, wow, Hollywood.
That's cute.
Okay. So what happens that you get to quit Casper that you start working full time?
Full Frontal. I got a job
okay.
at Full Frontal.
As a writer's assistant,
mm-hmm.
which is a dope job that I didn't understand was a dope job.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was perfect for me. I mean, I knew I wanted to be a writer. That I specifically wanted to work in late night political satire before Trump kind of ruined that, because of Daily Show. So I was so lucky because everybody there, like the head writer Joe Miller was like, and she came from Daily Show, and she was really like, I know you're funny. You better be pitching in the room. And I was like, ha 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 ha. Yeah right. Yeah right. You're just saying that. And then a few weeks later, she was like, you're not pitching. Why aren't you pitching? You're so silly when I talk to you, and you're not pitching jokes. And
that's,
she did it enough times that I like got confident enough to pitch.
It's an incredible boss.
She was amazing.
That's very helpful.
Yeah, and like it was a very intense, hard job, but also like a really I just grew so much and got so much more confident.
Was that show daily?
It weekly.
Oh, it was once a week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Great.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought it was on every, like, Monday through Thursday or something. Mm-mm. Okay, cool. Well, shows how much I watch it. So you get the writer's assistant job. What happens after that? Like, what leads to now you write on everything Big Mouth and, like, the spinoff is Human Resources, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, a full whatever. I'll let you tell the story.
So from there, I mean, I had taken improv at UCB, and Anthony Atamanik was one of my teachers. I had met Pete Gross through Late Night with Seth Meyers, and they started the President Show.
Right. Anthony Atamanik was the guy who did, like, the perfect Trump, like, when he first got elected.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. He did that. And so I wrote on President Show. They hired me on that.
I loved the President Show.
It was, like, really fun.
I thought it was awesome. Like, the episode where he goes to like a preschool and yes. they can't get him out of there.
Yeah.
That's, like, the hardest I've laughed at TV in a long time.
Anthony's so funny. He's such a, he's brilliant. And, like, cares about the right stuff.
Also, the fact that that show kind of, like, I don't think I'm speaking crazy. That show, like, tanked it and it was so funny. I was like, I think that this is probably the network's fault. Like, the show is too funny for it to have been canceled as quick as it was.
Yeah, I think, I really don't know why it got canceled, but I...
Because Comedy Central imploded.
That's probably, yes, that is probably why
it got canceled. Yeah, because it ate itself.
Because it was like a really funny, specific show.
And also very cheap to shoot.
Very cheap to shoot.
Yeah. So I was like, how have you not been able to do this?
Yeah.
Okay, so cool. You do that. Then what ends up with, how do you end up over on Big Mouth? People fucking love Big Mouth.
I mean, I was just writing on a bunch of stuff. So I moved to Miracle Workers and then I worked on High Maintenance.
Oh,
and
dope. Miracle Workers. That's Simon Rich.
Yeah. So I worked on the first season of that.
Where, you guys shot it in Bulgaria, right?
I didn't, but Prague. They were in Prague.
Okay. So I did, not to make it about me, but I did a table read for that. The first episode.
Oh, for the Prague season?
Yes, cool. Before they cast it. And then everybody, like, at the table read but me got cast.
No.
And they all got to go to Prague. And I was like, what'd I do wrong?
No.
What? How come I did wrong? I want to go to Prague with everybody.
I wish I had answers for you.
Oh, no. I think the answers were pretty self-evident. Everyone else was a really good actor. And then I was just like, I know Simon.
Did you work together at SNL?
No, we just have a lot of mutual friends.
Right.
And I just think he's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. He left, I think, like 2 years before I got there.
Oh, okay.
But, like, it's also...
Oh, right, because I'm a Man-Seeking Woman. Okay.
But, cool. So you work at Miracle Workers, which mm-hmm. is, like, a cool... You get to see this little... Not this rude for me to call him little, but he's not a super tall guy. I was going to say a genius.
Young genius.
Well, he looks very young. He's older than me.
But he's... But yeah, I guess. I mean, just, like, young to have had two original shows yeah. at that time.
Right. That are very, very good.
Yeah, yeah. So I did that, and then High Maintenance, and I was doing a bunch of, like, stand-up.
Oh, man. You wrote on... Okay, I did see that. You wrote on High Maintenance.
The third season.
Which is, like, that's, like, the coolest show in town.
It was really cool. It was really fun. And then, yeah, I was just doing a bunch of stand-up, and I was going back and forth from New York and L.A. a lot, and... I think just, like, met Nick, but also, like, Jabuki Young White was working there, and he put me up for it. They were looking for, like, you know, young perverts to be on that show.
Yeah.
So I've been working there since the fourth season.
How many fucking seasons are there?
I don't know how many have been announced, but, but there's a lot.
If you asked me how, I would have guessed the fourth season just premiered at Big Mouth.
I think the fifth season just came out, but
okay. I have no idea. It's probably also like a Netflix rotating type of thing where we don't really understand what they consider a full season and stuff.
Well, it also is just, like, animation, the lead time is so long that, like, it comes out 18 months after
yeah.
The Room. Or
I mean, I did a voice on a cartoon, and so the script was already completely done by the time it came to me, and then it would be, like, 12 months before that came out, and I'm like, this is taking forever. I can't imagine being writing on it, because you're like, what? We wrote that?
I know. I, like, forget everything.
Yeah.
Which is fun to, like, rewatch, but, yeah, so do that. I do that in their spinoff now.
Hell yeah. That's dope. But who cares about any of that shit, because you got your own show.
Yeah.
That comes out April 24th, I think I got it right.
Amazing.
Yes. 3 Busy Debras.
Yes.
What is that show? What's it about? I mean, I watched it. I watched the episode this morning. It's very fun.
Thanks.
I love it. But explain for people maybe who haven't seen it.
It's about 3 housewives who all live in a fictional sort of affluent suburb called Lemon Curd. They're all named Deborah, and every episode they sort of get into trouble. They all meet for brunch and then they get into trouble.
How did you come up with this? Was this a sketch that you guys blew up or what?
Kind of. Like, so right when I moved to New York, I met them, and the first night we met, we were all very heavy into improv, and we went to like an improv jam together, and we accidentally named every character Deborah. Mm-hmm. And then we were asked to do this like play show where you would write like a new 10-minute play with a group of people, and we were like trying to write something else. It was like very deep and thoughtful, but we were like, oh, it's so fun to just call each other Deborah and talk about how busy we are. So it was like really, you know, we had one idea.
Yeah. That's
we're
great.
Sticking to it. So that was like 7 years ago. And then yes, we were doing it as a play at the Annoyance for like 6 months, and then did a big show at Carnegie Hall. We crowdfunded a show at Carnegie Hall.
Whoa.
To be brats. And it was really fun.
What does that mean, crowdfunded?
We found out that you could rent the smallest room there for $5,000. And we were like, we'd been doing the play for so long, and we were like, oh, it'd be fun to do it one more time in like a really big venue. Mm-hmm. But we couldn't find anywhere. And then we called Carnegie Hall and found that out. We were like, oh my God, it'd be so funny to do a show at Carnegie Hall.
Yeah.
We were going to just do the play there. And we were like, this will either be really funny and people will fund it, or it'll be really embarrassing because no one's going to fund it. And it got funded in like a day because it was just so, I think, so
funny.
Stupid.
Yeah. And also, yeah, it's like New York comedy is pretty cool.
It was so fun. But then, so we got there and they were like, so it'll cost $10,000 to have like lighting or any kind of cues. And we were like, so we had to write a whole new show.
Oh my
because
God.
our play at the Annoyance was like so tech heavy, and we could only turn on the lights. Mm-hmm. We could only afford to turn on the lights. So we wrote a whole new play. We wrote a musical, and we did that for one night, and then that kind of got like attention.
Right.
But we made it free, and all of our like comedy friends came and dressed up. It was really, really fun. It was like a very special night.
That's dope. And then like, yeah, then you guys pitch it to Adult Swim, and
we started working with Amy Poehler. And then she helped us, her company helped us develop it.
She's the coolest.
It was, I mean, yeah, she like, there's like a photo of us. She emailed us on the night of the show and was like, you girls are so cool. And there's
She's
a photo
so
of us getting
rad.
The email. And we were like, ah! it's very like tender.
She came through like SNL one time and like was just like very caring, like very cool in the way of, she was just like, how's it going? And I was like, I never even met her. And I'm like, I don't know. And she's like, this place fucking sucks. Don't worry. I was like, that's what I want to hear. If she thinks the place sucks, imagine. Yeah.
Yeah, she's just so
like,
warm.
Yeah, she rules. I'm such a
really
fan.
Funny.
Yes, that's the other thing about her. Very
really
funny.
Really funny. Always has like really good feedback. Yeah, so we pitched it with her in like 2017. And then
nice.
Shot a pilot. We wrote the script, shot a pilot. The pilot did not go, and then mm-hmm. we wrote two more scripts, and then we got picked up to series.
Hey, that's yeah. where I'm at right now. I'm
exactly.
on the episodes 2 and 3.
Yeah. So and then yeah, so we shot that, and then the first season came out 2 years ago.
And then the pandemic. I'm sure you were flying high.
Yeah.
And then the old panty came around.
Well, our show premiered March 29th, 2020, or something mm-hmm. like that. So we like.
So you'd
squeaked
in the first season at least.
We'd squeaked in the first season, but we have not yet like experienced other people seeing the show.
Right. Because you guys could tour it.
Yeah. We just haven't.
I mean, it's also that's
we could.
You know what else is fun? Staying in LA and writing.
Yeah.
Hanging out with Whitmer.
We definitely could go other places.
Right.
But
you go to Nashville.
Yeah. For fun.
Yeah, exactly. For a bachelorette party.
Yeah.
Well, very fun. Mitra, thanks for doing the pod.
Yeah.
I know that, check out Through Busy Deborah's April 24th, 2022 for all of you in the future. I know you're a big fan of the podcast. You're always emailing in. Tell me what you like best. And it's always no notes, which is great.
Fully no notes.
Yeah.
Well, you keep it short, which is important.
Yes, of course. Well, after you leave, I'm interviewing Joe Rogan for 7 hours.
So cool.
And I'm going to team you guys together. I'm going to say Mitra.
And then you see who's who.
Well, I'm going to act like you're both here and you're getting along really well. Like, it's like, you know.
I love you.
Yeah. Sort of. You're my comedy inspiration.
I agree with all of your views.
All right, me just. But bottom line, you know, as always, I have our guests take us out of the episode.
Thanks for listening. Joe.